So I'm a bit of a sentimental guy, and maybe you are too. I don't like goodbyes too much, and in other ways, I do like them. Now, you guys know, and I've been sharing that recently to say some goodbyes. My daughter, that's right, had to say a bit of a farewell to her as she went off to college. And okay, sorry, I don't hope it's not too much of a broken record as I keep sharing and grieving through all of this. But, you know, we spent a lot of time with my daughter. I mean, we were there when she was born. Of course, Mom Vicky was there, right? Given that the mom is there when they're born, right? At least our world has not twisted us on that, you know. They're trying to make us, well, actually, there are some people who would maybe say, yeah, Mom doesn't have. Anyway, but I was there, you know, and Mom was there. We were there when she was born, and we changed the diapers, and we fed her. Again, Mom did a lot of the, you know, feeding, at least the breastfeeding and all of that. But we fed her. We rode on the bike with her and the San Luncha, the three-wheeler with her. And we rode on airplanes from continent to continent and country. Vicky taught her in elementary school. And we walked with her through junior high and focus youth group and high school. And so we went through a lot together. And so I got kind of sentimental, you know, as I'm spending my last days and weeks with her. And we have a few conversations. And so I asked her one night, a few weeks before she's to go off to college, I said, Pamela, how would you summarize all that Mommy and Daddy that we have taught you all these 18 years, you know? How would you crystallize it? Just put it into a few, all the values, what you've seen us model. What would you say was, you know, the one or two things that you're going to walk away with? And So goodbyes, they're kind of sad, but they're also kind of good. They're kind of important because you can kind of capitalize on the moment and really make it powerful and meaningful. And this morning, we're going to have one of those farewells, if you will. Yeah, it's not a farewell to a daughter who's going off to college, but it's a farewell. It's a summary. It's a conclusion. It's a, what are we going to walk away with after we've been walking with Ecclesiastes and the preacher these last 3.5 months? Now, some of you have been with us since the middle of May, and you've been with us there since chapter one. Some of you have been just starting with us recently. But whether it's you've been with us since May or you've just recently started to be with us, this morning we kind of want to say, okay, what, after we've been through this all, what are some things that we can boil it down to, those salient takeaways? How can we conclude our time in Ecclesiastes? So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to boil it down to just a couple of points. What are we walking away not only from Ecclesiastes, but for our own lives? Is there some summary, some conclusive truths that we can walk away with, put into practice, with these final words? So turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And we're going to start off with verse 1. And starting off in verse 1, the preacher tells us, remember. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. And so right here, we have one of the two main verbs that we're going to see here in chapter 12. And this first word is remember. Remember, it comes from the Hebrew word zakar. And so what does this mean? It's the main command, one of the main commands in the message. What is this remember? You know, am I supposed to like punch Jesus or God into my smartphone so that, you know, every day, you know, God's name shows up? There is an element to that, okay? It's this sense of think about, have this consciousness. In Psalm 63, this verb is repeated, when I remember you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. So as we walk away from Ecclesiastes, one of our main takeaways is think about God, remember God, have this consciousness of God in all that you do. And it's to not forget, right? That's the opposite of remember, is to forget. We kind of see this in Deuteronomy. That was the main sin of the early Israelites, is that they forgot the Lord. They didn't remember him. You shall remember the Lord your God. He's the one who has blessed you in all these ways. If you forget and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, you're going to pay for it, right? Because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. So we're going to see later in this chapter too that this sense of remember has this sense of revere, fear, honor, respect, and obey. So we want to remember the Lord. We want to dance with the one who brought you. You heard of that phrase? Football coach of many years ago, Darryl Royal. He was famous for that. You know, he said the wishbone got us here to the Cotton Bowl. We're not gonna switch to a new play. You want to dance with the one who brought you. Well, the Lord had delivered Israel from Egypt. You want to dance with the one who brought you. He's the one who got you out of Egypt. Keep remembering him. And we as Christians, Jesus is the one who has delivered us from sin. Don't think it's something else or someone else. Remember the Lord. Dance with the one who brought you. And when do we do that? The rest of the passage talks about this. When do we do this? In the days of your youth. In the days of your youth. Now, we've seen that phrase before, back in chapter 11, verse 9, where it says, in the days of your youth, you know, follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes, basically enjoying God's goodness, do it responsibly. But here we're getting the second command, is in the days of our youth, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. So when do we do it? We do it in the days of our youth. And he elaborates on this in the next several verses. It's before the evil days come. The evil days. Now, this is not a moral evil. This is more just destructive, painful, toilsome. You know, it's kind of like saying, that evil Hurricane Dorian ravished the Bahamas. No, it doesn't mean that the hurricane, you know, committed adultery or cheated on an exam. It just means that it was destructive. It was wicked, you know. And so this is more the sense of this word here. Before the destructive, the toilsome, the difficult days come, and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. What's he talking about? He's talking about how He's talking about old age. Getting older and eventually leading to death, where we just don't enjoy food and pleasures as much. That's what he's talking about. And then he uses metaphors in verse 2 of life. And you remember last week we talked about how light, right? We said our iPhone and we said, you know, life is good. You want to wake up to the light. You want to live life. We want to affirm life. Well, that's what we're talking about here is before, and he uses these imageries, these metaphors, before these bodies of light, the sun, the light, the moon, the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. You know, usually after the rain, right, the sky is blue, clear, sun breaks through. He said, no, after this, it's still dark, the clouds come back. He's talking about old age leading to death. And that's when we do it. And then next in these several verses, he's going to use all these metaphors. And these metaphors either refer to a decline, something, a decline in society, which is then used to talk about old age or death. Or quite possibly, he's going to use some of this poetic imagery to talk about the deterioration of old age, which will lead to death. Look at some of these metaphors here with me. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, again, these people, it's either a decline in society, you know, keepers of the house are trembling, these people, the strong men are bent, or else could it be that he's actually talking about, you know, when you get aged, you kind of start to tremble, kind of like with Parkinson's or some other debilitating diseases. The strong men are bent. You just don't stand up the same way that you used to, right? I can see some of our 60-year-olds are kind of resonating with me here, you know, as we're going to go through that. We're going to get a little resonation from our elderly crowd this morning. The grinders cease because they are few. This is either, again, a decline in society, the farmer, the milling. It's just not happening as much. Or could it be grinders are talking about the teeth? And it's, you know, when you get older, you start to lose your teeth and you just don't chew as much. Those who look through the windows are dimmed. Your eyesight, again, maybe it's just a sadness in society. And as we look out, we're just depressed. But could it be that it's talking about glaucoma or just how our eyesight tends to fade as we get older? The doors on the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low. Again, just not much business going on. Something's happening in society. Or could it again refer to something about the ears? Or perhaps our teeth again, the doors are kind of shut. You just don't open your mouth as much sometimes because you don't have many teeth to show when you get older. One rises up at the sound of a bird, and all of the daughters of song are brought low. There's kind of a dual physical ailment going on here. Anybody, older people, you kind of wake up early, harder to sleep, a little more restless. Just the sound of a bird can wake you up. But at the same time, the daughters of song are brought low. You have easier to wake up with the sound of a robin, but at the same time, harder to hear. They are afraid also of what is high and terrors in the way. Not willing to take as many risks. More conservative. You know, don't want to venture into danger, a little more careful, a little scared of heights. The grasshopper drags itself along. Okay. Well, I missed my grasshopper. But basically, you know, the grasshopper, he's spry, he's lively. But when you get into older age, I mean, you slow down a little. I mean, the movements in the exercise class, you know, they're not as lively as the grasshopper. So the grasshopper drags itself along. I'm sorry. I missed it. I do have it. The almond tree blossoms. See, the almond tree is, when it blossoms, it's white. And, you know, when you get older, you have white hair. And the grasshopper drags itself along, okay? And desire fails. The actual word there is a fruit called the caperberry, okay? And the caperberry was thought to be an aphrodisiac. Now, if you don't know what aphrodisiac is, ask someone who's old, over 18, and they can tell you what the aphrodisiac is. But basically, it's that desire that fails, so the actual Hebrew says something like, yeah, the caperberry is frustrated. It's not doing any good. Because, you know, when you get older, I mean, the system just doesn't work as powerfully and as strong. So don't matter if you take an aphrodisiac or not, okay? The caperberry, desire, but the ESV translates it, desire fails. And this is how we know that whether we're talking about reference in society just breaking down, or he's actually using metaphorical language about system functions, because verse 5 tells us that because man is going to his eternal home, this is talking about death, and mourners go about the streets, right? A funeral. And there's even clearer imagery in verses 6 and 7. The silver cord is snapped. It's talking about something valuable that's snapped. The golden bowl is broken. These important items are broken. The breaking of life. And then the receptacles which hold water, which is a symbol for life. Talking about the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. And so it's holding water, but it's broken. And so it splatters all over the ground. This is talking about death. And verse 7, clearly, the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So friends, when do we remember the Lord? We remember the Lord. Remember God in our youth. Remember God in our youth. While your body can still function, while you can still get along, don't wait until you're on your deathbed. Don't wait until death is at your doorstep that you start thinking about the deeper questions of life, the meaning of life. Start in your youth. Start today. Start today. Remember God today. Because Ecclesiastes has also told us, we don't know what holds tomorrow. I don't know if a disease is going to strike me in this next week. And you don't either. And my mentor pastor, when he told me about preaching, and I still remember it to this day, he told me, Way, preach every sermon like it's your last. It's your last sermon. So that's the kind of impact and power I try to bring every Sunday. I don't know if I'm going to preach to you next Sunday. And you don't know if you're going to be here to listen.
So remember God today. And so I'm very encouraged when in this last month, a few youth have come up to me and say, "Pastor Ray, I want to get baptized." That's good. Today is the day of salvation. And if you have not yet trusted in Jesus, baptism doesn't save you, right? But if you have not yet trusted in Jesus, today, remember the Lord in your youth. Today. And I'm serve the Lord today in your youth. I'm very encouraged with many of you. You're serving the Lord today. My brother, he was faithful in high school. He went off to college, got involved in a campus ministry, was faithful, went on a short-term mission trip, graduated, has come back, serving in the youth, serving in the worship team. He, even though he's an Aggie, remembering the Lord today. And I praise the Lord that many of you are remembering the Lord today. You're serving the children. You're serving on STL. You're serving on Focus Worship Team. You're leading a missional community group. You're teaching Sunday school. You're part of the Connections Committee. You're serving the Lord today. And so keep it up. I want to encourage you. You could pursue a lot of things in this life, but pursue the Lord first. Remember Him. Serve the Lord today. And I want to challenge you that maybe the Lord wants you to bump it up one notch. I don't know. You ask the Lord. We can counsel. But maybe He wants you to start going to small group. Start going to Sunday school. Return back to Sunday school. To start a worship ministry or Bible study at your school or at your company. Maybe He wants you to bump it up one notch. Maybe you're doing just fine. You've got your plate is full. But whatever it is, remember God in your youth. Don't wait till it's too late. Because we remember in verse 8, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. We remember that it's not through the pursuit of wealth, of letters after our name, of big houses. And this is the theme that we were presented with way back in chapter 1, verse 11. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And we've seen that illustrated today by our quarterback who we talked about in week 1 and 2. He said it himself. There's got to be something more than this. I mean, I got the money. I got the Super Bowl rings. I got the big houses. What's the answer, Tom? I wish I knew. I wish I knew. We need to start praying that Tom Brady will read the book of Ecclesiastes. Because vanity of vanity, all is vanity. So we want to remember the Lord above all others, above all else. But reaffirming what we've talked about in Ecclesiastes, he does affirm wisdom. True, heavenly, godly wisdom. We see these in the next few verses, verse 9. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge. Now we have a shift in the narrative. Kohelet, the preacher, who I think is Solomon, he starts to talk in the third person. You know,
Before he was just speaking directly, but this is a literary device, I believe. Jesus did that. He said, the Son of Man did talk to him. I think Yoda does that sometimes too. Does he do that sometimes too? Maybe not, but he speaks kind of funny. Anyway, the preacher, people knowledge. So we're affirming wisdom, true wisdom, weighing, studying, arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The preacher tried to, you know, make it palatable. He tried to make it interesting, and we see that with his proverbs. Jesus did that. He was probably the most interesting preacher ever. Taught parables, used symbolism, object lessons, illustrations. Of course, always dress it up. You know, sometimes Jesus just had to go out and speak the truth directly. Just like if I come to Sam and say, Sam, you are a, you know, whitewashed sepulcher. You know, I mean, sometimes you just got to spit it right out there. He's not. But I'm just doing this for the purpose of, you know, just the truth, right? I mean, hypocrite. All right. And he's not. But we're just using it as an example. Don't worry, Angie. I'm not going to pick on you. But the preacher tries to make it interesting. We say this in Ecclesiastes 3. You know, there's a time for everything. But we got to speak the truth as well. And that's what wisdom does. The words of the wise are like goads. What's a goad? It's kind of one of those long sticks that kind of keep oxen or sheep in line. So the words of the wise protect us. They keep us in line. They are like nails, right? They're like nails that are firmly fixed. I had my nail in here, but, you know, it gives us stability, stableness to our lives. So there is an affirmation of godly wisdom. The collected sayings, and the source is one shepherd. Again, the imagery of the goad guiding, but caring. And we see this as God, the Lord, who is the source of all wisdom. But be careful. There's danger in the wisdom of the world. Verse 12 tells us that. My son, beware of anything beyond these, of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. And so there's limitations to the human wisdom that's not a part of the revelation, the godly wisdom that has been revealed to us by the Lord. We've seen this throughout Ecclesiastes, how to search out by wisdom. And I think that this is talking about more just the earthly wisdom. There's limitations to it. And it's an endless pursuit. Much wisdom is much vexation. And we saw this also in chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. And how if we keep pursuing just the wisdom of the world, there's no end to it. But there is an affirmation of wisdom. And it ties into his final takeaway, which we find in verses 13 and 14. The end of the matter, after all has been heard, we're going to boil it down right here. Fear God. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. And I like the NASB because this applies to every person. That's why it's good to read some different versions every time. And if you have questions, ask your teachers, ask me. We can help you understand why there's different translations, different interpretive decisions that are made. But I do think the better way to translate goes with the NASB here. This applies to every person. It's
So it's for everybody. And the reason, because God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. So our second main verb is to fear God. Fear God. That's our second main takeaway. Now, what is fear? What is fearing God? Many of you know it's that reverence, that respect, that weightiness that we give to God and we don't give it to any others. Remember, we talked about in chapter 5, we don't want to fear me, fear myself. We don't want to value, give weight to me. We don't want to give fear men, the opinions and thoughts of other people. We don't want to fear money. We don't want to give weight to that, but we want to fear God. We see this throughout, again, through Deuteronomy, that you may fear the Lord your God. Proverbs talks about the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. We want to have that weightiness. Fear the Lord your God. And oftentimes it's linked with obedience, keeping his commands. Deuteronomy, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments all the days of your life, that your days may be, you shall fear him, you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. To fear the Lord our God, because that is the path to blessing. So we want to fear him because he will judge us both in a bad way, discipline or punishment if we don't obey him, but also great blessing if we do obey him. And so our takeaway, fear God and keep his commandments. So friends, as we walk away, as we say farewell, as we say goodbye, this is what we boil it down to. And so, yes, to fear God and to keep his commandments, we got to know what they are. So, yes, we want you to come and hear the word of God in service and go to Sunday school and your small groups. And we want you to read the Bible for 7.5 minutes, 5 days of the week. We want 100 people doing that. Yes. But we also want to apply it and put it into practice. And there's a couple of ways, I think, that we can really do that. One is have a life verse for your major occupations in life. Do you have a life verse for what you're doing for 40 hours a week? Teens, what's your life verse as you go to school? Yeah, think of a few life verses. Maybe Luke 2:52, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature in the favor of God and men. Maybe Colossians 3:23-24, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Do you have a life verse sitting on your desk or on your phone somehow as you go to work and you spend 40 hours a week there? What's your life verse as you're going to work and expending 40? Because we want to keep God at the top above. We want to remember him, fear him, but we want to keep God in the center of all that we do. And so as we do that, we want to be obeying his commandments in all that we do. Do you have a life verse for if you're married? What's your life verse as you relate to that spouse 50, 60 hours a week, to your children, to your parents? Have life verses for your major occupations in life. Will you do that today? If you don't have a life verse for school, for work, for marriage, for parents, for children, will you assign yourself a life verse? Will you do that today? If you're looking for what you want to do in life, for the career, is there a life verse that can guide you as you're trying to decide what you want to do with your life? Will you go home and think of a life verse? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. And secondly, I want to encourage you to plug in to a small group, others, as you help each other to keep the Lord's commandments, to keep His commandments, because we need help. And so that's why we have focused small groups. That's why we have missional community groups. That's why we're trying to bring back our young adults small group. Because we need to help each other apply it to our stage of life. And we need both. We need the cross section. That's why we're doing it in here. We need mom and dad and grandma and grandson to help grandpa and mom and dad and child to know how it kind of applies across the demographics. But we need people who will help us in our lives. So if you're not a part of a group, if you're not a part of an accountability that will help you, then I want to challenge you to join one. And I'm so glad I went to my community group because I get to hear how others are applying and obeying God's commands or not. Times in my group, we'll go and a dad will share, yeah, this is going on with my marriage. This is going on with my job. You know, I don't want to spend so much time on my job. I want to spend more time with my children. They talk about how they're disciplining their children. They talk about their own personal lives, purity, reading the Bible. We got to help each other. Help each other, right? Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. You just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you'll understand. We all need somebody to lean on. All right, that was just the Holy Spirit. You know, that wasn't in the manuscript, all right? But friends, that's what we need, okay? And so friends, this morning we're saying farewell. We're hearing the last words and testament of Qoheleth. And he is telling us, as we walk away from here, I'm going to boil it down. Remember God. Serve the Lord today. Don't wait till you got cancer. Don't wait till you got cancer, till you figure out what's really important in life. Serve the Lord today. And fear God. And keep His commandments. Have a life verse. Have a life verse for everything that you do. And get plugged into people who will help you to keep His commands. So, we sent Pamela off. And it was tough. It was hard for me. But I knew in the back of my mind, because I told her to come back for Labor Day, it was only going to be 1 week, and I'd see her again. But we drove her back up on Labor Day, the day before, and I knew that was it. I knew this was going to really be goodbye for at least a month. But I had it all planned out, and I know Pamela, she doesn't like the public displays as much as I do, right? You know, I kiss my wife in front of hundreds of people, no problem, you know, but, you know, some of my wife may not like that as much, and Pamela's a little bit more, you know, more like, and so I had it, okay, so in the In-N-Out parking lot, because, you know, we go to In-N-Out because you can get that, and she said, so In-N-Out parking lot, just going to be me and her. I got it all planned out, what I'm going to say. So I get out of the car. It's just me and her in the In-N-Out parking lot right there next to the UT campus.
I go up to her and say, Pamela, gonna miss you. I'm so proud of you. I love you. And I give her a little half hug. And those are my final words to my daughter. And so, friends, that's the summary. That's what I want her to walk away with. That's all I want her to think about if she's studying for comp sci or seeing the football team lose to LSU or whatever it might be. Okay? That's what I want her to have on her mind as that's all going on. Okay? And friends, Kohelet, he got his last words for us. And he's told us, remember the Lord while you're still young. And fear God. Keep his commandments. Lord, thank you that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, things that have not entered into the heart of man, all that the Lord has prepared for those who love him. Thank you, Lord, that you have given to us, you have revealed to us your word, your words from Genesis to Revelation, your words right here through Solomon, the preacher, Ecclesiastes, which can crystallize for us how to live our lives. Lord, make it so in our lives. Help us to remember you, to fear you, to honor you above all others, and to put you in the center of all that we do, that we can keep your commandments, whether we're spending time with our children or our parents or our classmates or our teachers or class or work or trying to figure out what we want to do in life. Help us, Lord, to obey your commandments. For you truly are the source of life in a fallen world. We pray in Jesus' name.